right. Thank you for taking a few moments this morning. Yes. I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers this morning. Happy Father's Day. Today, to honor all the fathers here and watching live on our live stream, I'm going to give you a gift. You ready, fathers? My gift to you, drum roll, my gift to you is a short sermon. That's my gift to all the fathers today. They're like, yes! You can take your nap after the sermon today, not during. Yeah, glad you could make it this morning on Father's Day. So I want to get right into this message today, but I want to start with a funny story. In this story, several men were in a locker room at a golf club. Anybody play golf in here today? Anybody like to play golf? Yes. Okay, quiet golfers, they're golfers. Shh, he's putting. Several men are in a locker room at a golf club, and a cell phone on a bench rings. And the man next to it picks it up and answers, and he puts it on speaker, and he begins to talk. And everybody else in the locker room at the golf club stop and listen. And the man says, hello, and the woman says, hi, honey, how are you? It's me. Are you at the club? And he says, yes, I am. And she says, well, I'm at the shops today, and I found this beautiful leather coat, and it's only $2,000. Is it okay if I buy it? And the man says, sure, go ahead. If you like it that much, go ahead and buy it. And the woman says, okay, thank you so much, honey. She says, I also stopped at the dealership, and I saw that new model that I was telling you about, you know, last week, and it's got the color I want, everything. I really like it. What do you think? And he says, oh, how much? And she says, it's only $90,000. And he says, oh, man, $90,000. He says, okay, but for that price, I want all the options. I want all the options on it. She says, oh, that's great, honey. Thank you so much. Oh, and one more thing. I've just talked to Janie, and Janie found out that house that was on the market last year is back on the market again, and you know, we really like that house so much. And so what do you think? She said, it's $980,000. And he says, oh, no, uh-uh. He says, nope, you go ahead and offer them $900,000, and they'll probably take it, but if not, if we go with the extra $80,000, it has to be what you really, really want. She says, okay, I'll call her. Okay, thank you, honey. I'll see you later. I love you so much. And the man said, bye, I love you too. And then he hangs up the phone, and the other men in the locker room are just staring at him in astonishment with their mouths wide open. And he just turns to them and says, does anybody know whose phone this is? Oh. Today I want to explain why the world needs godly fathers. That's the title of the message today. The world needs godly fathers. How many can say amen to that? And I want to explain that to you. Why does the world need godly fathers? But before I get to that, I'm going to get to my first point. There's only two points today. And the second point is the world needs godly fathers. So the first point is this. A father needs to be honored. A father needs to be honored. I want to read a scripture to you. It's in Mark chapter 6. And if you have your tablet or your phone with you, you can get on YouVersion. And if you open up the YouVersion app, as I am doing right now, we're right there on the YouVersion app. Go to events, open up the events tab, and tap on the river. And there you have the world needs godly fathers, and all the notes are in there. And I'd like you to follow along. If you don't have this app and you'd like to get it, you can ask them at the Welcome Center or even find me or another staff member will help you get it. But this is a wonderful way to follow our notes during the messages, and you can actually take notes of your own and add them to this and share with other people that you're friends with on this app. So it's really a cool thing to do. Look, turn to Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And this is what it says. It says, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed, and they asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us. And they were deeply offended and refused to believe him. They were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Now, this is important, but watch this. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hand on a few sick people and heal them. So I want you to see today that the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of God, was in a place where he couldn't do any miracles, the Bible says, because they were not honoring him. He couldn't do any miracles because they were not honoring him. This is the Son of God who has been doing miracles all over the place, everywhere he went. In fact, if you read in the scriptures, it says that every town he went to, they brought all the sick to him, and he healed them all. How many did he heal? All of them. So he would go all these towns, and they'd bring all the sick to him. Read it in the scriptures. It's there. And he would heal them all. But in his hometown, he couldn't do any miracles because they didn't honor him. This is very important today. Because according to this passage, two things cause dishonor. Two things. One is familiarity, which comes from the root word family. Family. Think about this. Look, I've seen this guy. I watched him grow up. I watched him with his family and all of that, and I've seen him. And I don't know that this can be said for Jesus, but can you imagine people saying it about you? But I've seen him on his worst day. I saw him have bad days. I watched him react to people in the wrong way. I saw him do this, and I saw him do that. And I know this guy. I've known him since he was this big, and surely he can't do anything. But the second thing that causes dishonor is offenses, the Bible says. Offenses. The scripture says that they were offended. And I want to tell you that if you're offended with someone, you will never honor them. If you're offended with someone, you'll never be able to honor them because the offense has to be cleared up first. That person has to be forgiven. Even if what that person did is worthy of you being offended or me being offended, that does not give us the right to not forgive them. Amen?
Amen.
Even if what they did is worthy of us being offended, we still should forgive. Because if we don't forgive and we stay offended, we'll never be able to truly honor those people. I want to ask you a question today. Did you ever get offended by your mom or your dad? Anybody raise their hand? Raise their hand if you ever got offended by mom and dad. They ever do something that offended you, that upset you, that hurt you? And I'm not talking about they did the right thing that offended you. That's a given. Parents all the time make decisions that offend us, right? We want to go for ice cream, and they say, no, that offended me. Anybody? But have they ever done something that was wrong that offended you? Did your parents ever say something to you that they shouldn't have said, and it offended you and hurt you? Yes? Yeah, of course they did. All of us have done that. All of us have had that done to us. But if you don't forgive, you'll never be able to honor. That's what the Bible says. So I want to ask you this question today. If dishonor hindered Jesus from doing mighty works in his own hometown, is it possible that dishonor is hindering a man in your life from doing mighty works? Is it possible that dishonor is hindering a man in your life? A father, a husband, a brother, from doing good works? And since it's Father's Day, I'm going to speak for men. Is that okay? Can I speak for men today since it's Father's Day? Men, can I speak for you? Well, maybe you should answer after I say this, all right? But I'm going to say this. It's tough being a man. Come on, man. Let's go. Wake up, wives, ladies. Nudge them. Give them the elbow, all right? It's tough being a man. We're confused. We are confused. Yeah. Ladies, I'm talking to the men. We are confused. We don't know what you want, ladies. We are confused. We're confused. Constantly we're confused with, do you want us to be tough or do you want us to be sensitive? And when do you want which? My wife says things to me all the time that confuse me. She says stuff like, I didn't tell you this problem so you can solve it. Men, are you with me? I'm like, then what did you tell it to me for? I'm trying to give you the answer here. I didn't tell you. Or she'll say, just listen to me, just listen. And then when I'm quiet, she'll say, well, aren't you going to say something? We're confused, ladies. You confuse us all the time, and sometimes I think it's on purpose. Come on, man. You men are like, yeah. I'm going to get in trouble when I get home. As soon as I get in the car, I heard you say, yeah. Come on, man, yeah. Sometimes I think they confuse us on purpose. Like, a man will be all dressed and ready to go out and walk out the door, and the wife will say, you going to wear that? You wearing that? No, I just thought I'd come out here and do a little modeling show. Now I'm going to go back in and put on what I'm really going to wear on. You know, here's the thing about it. I've never had a man say that to me, ever. Men, you know what I'm talking about? I've never gotten a car with a bunch of guys going to the ball game, and they look at me and go, you going to wear that? Never. Like, gosh, Bill, it's after Labor Day. You can't wear that. You know we're going to a ball game. You can't wear white to a ball game. Like, that never happens. So we women, we don't know what you want. We're confused. I heard one guy tell me one time, he said his wife was out of town and she got home from being out of town before he got home from work, and he walked in the door and she said, did you wear that today? No, I changed in the car while I was driving home. That's what I did, honey. No, I didn't wear this today. So, and then our wives will do all of that. And then they'll come out of the closet with two shoes and go, which one? No. This is a trap. Men, don't fall for it. You know what the answer is? Oh, they're both wonderful, honey. Whatever one you decide, they're going to be great. Right? Oh, some of you men are like, what? That's the answer? Oh. So let me just talk to the ladies for a second. Ladies, you ready? Men are like dogs. All they need is a little praise and a treat every once in a while, and we'll be all right. That's all we need. A little praise and a treat. Good boy. Just kidding. Men need to be honored. Ladies, in all seriousness, and men, and everybody here, everybody that's watching, honor is his number one need. Amen. I'm going to say it to you again. Honor is our number one need. Amen. We men need to be honored more than anything else. That's what we need. That's how God designed it. Amen. Just honor. Just honor them. You want them to be what God created them to be? Come on, ladies, I'm going to ask you for a second. How many of you want your husband or man in your life to be what God created him to be? Raise your hand. If that's what you want, honor him. Honor him. Honor him when things are going good, and honor him when things aren't. Honor him when he says the right thing, ladies, and honor him when he doesn't. If you honor the man in your life, and I'm talking to children, if you honor your father, things will go well for you. Ephesians 6, 2, and 3 says this, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Can I just stop right there? Look at this. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. All right? That's important. Everybody pay attention. When the Lord says this is the first commandment with a promise, don't you think the promise is pretty important? Yes. Okay, so next part. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. There's the promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. I just want you to notice the phrase, things will go well for you. How many of you would like things to go well for you? Yes? I would. I'm not too excited when things go bad for me. But I'm thankful when things go well for me. So if you want things to go well for you, honor your father and mother. Honor your parents. Honor the man in your life. Honor the person, that man that God put in your life. Ladies, I understand sometimes that you need to, I'm just going to go off track. This is totally off notes, but I feel it's Holy Spirit. I understand there's a time in your life, ladies, where you may have to lead the home spiritually. My wife did it. When we first got married, she had to be the spiritual leader of the house. I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared. I couldn't do it. She had to do it. She had to. Okay? But there will come a time, if you honor him and you're praying for him, that God will raise him to that, elevate him to that point where he needs to take the lead. And when he does, you need to honor that. Amen. If you honor that, things will go well for you. The transition will be good. It will be smooth if you honor him and honor what God's doing there. But if you don't, if you fight for that, and I get it. I get the tendency for that. Kim and I, when we went through that phase in our life, early in our marriage, where I started to want to take the lead spiritually, she was in that place where she was like, I love him. I don't know if I can trust him with this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I love him, but I've been doing this for a while now. And so there had to come this time where we transitioned. And ladies, I'm just telling you, if you honor him, it will go well for you. I'm not saying children, I'm not saying your father is perfect, because we know he's not perfect. But what I'm saying is if you honor him, it will not only have an effect on him, it will affect you. Things will go well for you. Remember, Noah got drunk, and one of his sons went out and talked about him and made fun of him and all of those type of things. And the other two sons took a blanket and walked in backwards and covered him up. And the Bible says that the two that covered him up were blessed, and the son that talked about him and laughed about him was cursed. The two that honored him were blessed, and the one that dishonored him was cursed. So a father needs to be honored. And the second point is this: the world needs godly fathers. The world needs godly fathers. Children learn behaviors from their fathers. They learn behaviors from their fathers. Yet the U.S. Census Bureau shows that over 30 million children in America, one in every three, live in homes absent of their biological fathers. The world needs godly fathers who set good examples. Amen? 2 Kings 21:21 says this: he followed the example of his father, worshiping the same idols his father had worshiped. He followed the example of his father, worshiping the same idols his father had worshiped. Fathers, you need to understand that you're setting an example that will be followed by your children, either good or bad. You're setting examples every day that they're watching, that they're going to follow, whether they're good or bad examples. And I just need to stop here and just talk to the fathers for a moment and let you understand that your children are watching you and they're listening to you. Every word you say and every action you take, they're watching that. They're listening. They're going to follow your example. So you may think, well, yeah, I might have treated this guy this way at work, or I might have said this thing to a guy at work or to someone out of the home. My children didn't see it, so they're not aware of it. And you're like, I'm a good father. I treat my children well, and I set a good example for them at home. But I want to tell you that they're going to find out how you treat people outside the home. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can't play both sides. You can't be one way outside the home and a different way in the home and think I'm doing a good job with my children. They will find out how you're treating people outside the home. It may be in a conversation that you think is private that you're having with your wife or with someone else, and they hear how you treated that person, and they're going to listen to that. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to cause your children to grow up thinking, I do this at home and I do this outside the home. That's what's going to, thank you, baby, for that big amen, man. That was a good amen right there. That was a good amen. That's a Father's Day amen right there. Love that girl. They're going to do that. They're going to at home, they're going to think, oh, this is how I treat my kids at home, and this is how I act at home. This is how I treat my wife at home.
Yes.
You know, that happens in the church all the time, don't you? You know that, right? Y'all know that, right?
Yeah.
Come on, y'all have done it, right? Came to church, I'm blessed and highly favored. You get in the car, and what's wrong with you? Y'all, you know you've done it. Everybody's done it. You're all smiles at church. God is good. And you get in the car, and oh. Why did you talk so long? You know I'm hungry, and I'm ready to get home and eat. That would be the men, mainly, amen, saying that to their wives. Oh, thank you for that amen. That's a good amen right there. So they're watching you, fathers. They're watching you. You need to maintain a good connection with them, and you need to be a person of integrity, not only inside the home, but outside the home. Maintaining a good connection with your children can be challenging. I understand that, especially since parents juggle so many responsibilities and multiple pressures today. Parenting still means that you need to learn to take complete responsibility for your child as a solid mentor in the home and outside the home. The primary way that dads can help their children understand that they matter is by making them the priority over all the demands that life throws our way. Make them the priority. Make them the priority over work. Well, can I just stop there for a second, please, and say, fathers, you think providing for your children is providing them the financial things they need more than anything else? They just need your love and your time.
Amen.
They just need your love and your time. Do you understand that you could be living in a hut with a dirt floor, nothing really, no material possessions whatsoever, but if you love them and spend time with them, they'll grow up thinking they're the richest people in the world. Do you understand that? They don't need money. They need your love. They don't need money. They need your time. They need to know that you love them and you're for them and that you're like they matter more to you than anything else in the world other than your wife. Your wife should matter more.
Yes.
I knew I was going to get that. Here's the priority, men, fathers. Here's the priority. God. Everybody say it with men. Raise your hand. Say God. My wife. My children. Got it? That's it. If you will do that, men, if you will do that, put God first, then your wife, then your children, things will go well for you. It will go well for you. So before work, I've known a lot of men, and I've counseled a lot of men that put a lot of time and effort into work, into their business, and all of those things. And they thought they were doing a good job with the children, but what happened was the children, they got a different message. They received a different message. Even though the father dearly loved those kids, he really did. The reason he worked so hard and put all that effort into the business is because he loved his kids and he wanted to provide for them, but they need your time and your love more than they need the money. So it's critical that fathers make it clear to their children that they're the priority. That the most important investment in their lives is them. And all the other stuff gets the leftovers. And don't you think that God sees it that way too? Yes, he does. God wants you to put them first. And if you put your family first, men, God will honor that. And he will bless you in ways you cannot even imagine. You don't have to worry about the finances. Jesus said it. He made it clear. He made it clear in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He said, don't worry about your life. Fathers, don't worry about your life, what you eat or what you drink or the clothes you wear. You know what? He's saying, fathers, don't worry about what you provide for your family. Don't worry about that. But seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of those things will be added to you. If you'll just do that, God will take care of your finances. He'll take care. He, listen, you're not the provider, man. You're not the provider. God is the provider. Amen? And he will provide all your needs. The Bible says, according to his riches in glory, he'll do it. And he'll blow your mind with it. But his system is you honor your family and you love them and you take care of them. So here's the questions. Do you show interest in your children's needs and in your family's needs? Do you value their hobbies and their passions and what they want to do? Do you put them first in your life? A child will seek their father's approval and praise, and it's critical that a father will guide them and guide their children in the right actions onto the right path, to lead them to love the Lord and to serve the Lord and to follow the Lord with all of their hearts. And the way that they're going to do that, men, is they're going to see you and they're going to follow your example. So you can't expect a child to value charity if you're not charitable with your time with them. You can't expect a child to value the church if you're not honoring the church and you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You want your child to raise up your child in the right way, men, go to church. Amen. And take your children with you and teach them how to worship the Lord. Amen. Come on, y'all. Your children, fathers, your children are watching you worship the Lord. Your family's watching you worship the Lord. So if you sit there like you're bored to death, guess what they're going to learn to do? But if you want them to be exuberant and love the Lord and show it to him by the way they worship, then you should do the same thing. All right. I want to say this. If they learn to be a role model by studying you, then who do you want to be? What kind of father do you want to be? What kind of example do you want to set? Because whatever you do, they're going to follow. And the only way for us as fathers and as men is the only way for us to set a good example for our children is to follow the best example ever laid out for us, ever set for us. And that was by Jesus. Amen? John 5:19 says, so Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. Watch this. He only does what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. John 8:28, so Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. John 13:15, Jesus said, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Jesus said that I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only go where the Father tells me to go. I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what I see the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, that's what I do. This is Jesus' own words, and he did it while he was here on earth. He honored his Father. How many of you believe that Jesus honored his Father better than any human being ever did? Amen. Well, he wasn't a human being. He was God. Yes, but he was all human being too. He came in the flesh so that he could show us the example and lead the way for us, not just to redeem us from sin and not just to heal us from sickness. He came to give us a great example of how we should honor fathers and how we should lead. Amen? So he said, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. So we should follow that example. So men, I'm going to ask you to do something today because you might be sitting there going, well, you know, I've made some mistakes. As a father, as a husband, I've made some mistakes. I haven't always been a good husband. I haven't always been a good father. I've messed some things up. I've let my children down. I've set some bad examples. There's not one man in this place that can't say, or that can say, I never set a bad example. Every single man in this place, at times, you've set some bad examples. It's true. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to say that. But But where the rubber meets the road is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? It's never too late to start. Amen? You can start right here, right now. There might be some things you've been doing in your life that's just been a bad example after bad example. You've just, something you're stuck in, and you just keep repeating these bad examples, and you're just like, I don't know how to get out of this cycle. I'm going to tell you how. Only do what you see the Father doing. Only do what you see Jesus doing. Follow his example, and you'll get out of that rut. But you have to acknowledge it, and you have to say, that's what I want to do, Lord. That's what I want to do. So at this moment, I want to do this. I want all the fathers in the place to stand. If you're a father, stand. Come on, dads, get up. And this is what I want to do. I want to do like we did on Mother's Day today. I want all the family to gather around your father that's standing. Your father's standing, gather around them. Stand up, gather around them, put your hands on them. Okay? If you don't have a father here, your husband or that person, you can gather around another father if you want to help pray with them. All right? You can do that. If your father's not here, but you got family members, gather together and pray for your father. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do this together as a family, as we pray for our families and our fathers. Men, I want to say this to you before I pray. I want every father, every husband to look at me. You may have failed before, but you're not a failure. You've made some mistakes, but you're not a mistake. You may have let your family and your children down at times, but it's okay. God will lift you up, and he will do everything he desires to do in your life, and he will use you for his glory if you just trust him and follow his example. So let's pray together. Father, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I just come to you today and ask you. I ask you, Father, to take all the wounds and all the pain and all the criticism, Lord, and all the heartache that these fathers have had over the mistakes they've made and all their failures they've had. I ask you, Father, to just wipe that all away. Wipe that all away. Oh, Father, I feel the ache in some men's hearts today for the things that they've done wrong and the mistakes they've made. But God, I pray you just wipe it all away. And Father, I pray you crush the criticism of the enemy and the condemnation of the enemy that has been placed in their hearts and in their minds. And I pray, God, that you crush that completely and wipe it away. And Father, I pray you replace it with your love and your acceptance and your peace. Lord, that they are good men and good fathers. They're your sons, and you love them dearly. And Father, I pray that they would follow your example from this day forward, Father, in everything they do to the best of their ability. Father, I pray they follow your example. As a good Heavenly Father, Lord, pour your Spirit out upon them. And I pray, Father, for these families that they would honor these men, that they would give them the honor that is due them, Lord, in the way they speak to them, in the way they follow them, in the way they look at them, Lord, I pray they would honor them. Father, because of the honor that comes to these men, I pray, God, that you would use them to do mighty works, mighty miracles, even in their hometown. Use them, Father. Raise them up, God. We thank you, Father, for doing this good work in your sons today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Happy Father's Day.